Welcome to Argyle Chat, the Plymouth Argyle podcast brought to you by the Herald Sports Desk.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Argyle Chat. I'm Jack Ball and joining me today is Chris Errington. Good morning, Chris. Just us, just the two of us.
Just the two of us, but we were both at Home Park on Saturday for the game against Wigan Athletic, so plenty to talk about from that game, I think.
So before we talk about what actually happened, what were your expectations going into the game? Obviously, Wigan were top of the league, they're flying at the moment, aren't they? Beat Bournemouth in midweek in the FA Cup. So what were you expecting?
Wigan to be very good. I expected to go away from the game thinking that Argyle had given them a good game. And I expected to think that I'd leave the ground and think that Wigan would probably go on and win the League One title. And all of those came true, I think. I think Argyle did give them a good game, particularly in the first half. I've spoken to quite a few people over the weekend, and I think the general consensus was the same as mine, that Argyle played pretty well and the 3-1 scoreline didn't reflect the balance of the play. Wigan were good, they've got some good players, but I think you could see Argyle played with a bit of confidence, and certainly when you compare the performance against Wigan to some of the ones earlier in the season, I thought it was a good improvement, wasn't it?
It was a very attack-minded match. Argyle more attacking than I certainly thought they would be going into the game.
Yeah.
Looking back, and now Argyle lost 3-1, was that the right tactic, do you think? Or do you think perhaps they should have been more defensive? I know all season people have been saying Argyle should be more attack-minded.
This is the thing, we've discussed negative tactics on many, many occasions. I wouldn't have been surprised if Jan Songo had played on Saturday and played in the midfield holding role, and maybe Ness or Sasevic had been sacrificed just to give Argyle that little bit of steel. You and I were at the DW Stadium in September, Jack, and we saw Jan Songo play against Wigan, and he was absolutely outstanding that night. So there was a good case to be made for horses for courses. Songo did a good job up at Wigan. Why couldn't he down at Home Park? But we have seen Argyle evolve their style and their tactics during that unbeaten run that they were on. And, credit to Derek Adams. He sent out a pretty attacking team, 4-3-3. With Fox, Sasevic, and Ness in the midfield. Did it work? I think, Argyle went 1-0 up. The timing of the first two goals for Wigan was really crucial in the game. Anytime you score, you don't want to concede within a couple of minutes, particularly when you're playing, nine-game unbeaten league leaders. So it was disappointing to concede the equaliser so soon. And then, obviously, the goal right at half-time was a big blow, wasn't it? It was 3 minutes of stoppage time. I think there was about 2 minutes 56 on the clock or something of those 3 minutes when Wigan scored, and that made it difficult for Argyle after that. But I went away pretty encouraged. Jack, you were there. It was a pretty decent performance, wasn't it? A little bit, perhaps not quite clinical enough up front. And you would have to question the defending there.
Which Jack did mention this post-match stuff, didn't he? That going forward, they weren't as good as they possibly could have been. But speaking purely as a fan rather than a journalist...
Yeah, you're allowed to. Yeah.
I left the game feeling quite happy with what I saw. And sometimes you feel like even despite a loss, you really got your money's worth out of that game. And Argyle could have sat back and they might have put up for a point, but they could have still conceded. And I've got to give credit to Derek Adams, I think. Argyle fans... at least on the social media, which we know is not a full representation of Argyle fans, but have asked for attack-minded football, and I think at least the Argyle fans stayed with them throughout the game, and I think not many people left the game disappointed, despite the defeat.
I think we all thought, or a lot of us thought, that it might look like Argyle were the away team, and they would sit and try and play on the counter-attack, but I thought particularly in that first half, and even up until Wigan got the third goal, I thought Argyle were giving it a really good go and were on the front foot. And that is one thing we've seen from Argyle over the last month or two, that they have been able to start games well, they have been able to get on the front foot. And yes, they've lost to Wigan, but there's no disgrace in that. I do think they'll go on and win the league. It's not bad when you're going to bring on somebody like James Warne as a substitute at half-time for Will Grigg. That's not bad, is it? I wouldn't be too... I don't think the players will be. They shouldn't be too despondent by one defeat. I thought they put in a pretty decent performance, I think, against a team that will probably be playing in the Championship.
Impressively, they didn't show too much respect to Wigan. You see in the Premier League, for example, teams like Manchester City, they almost give them all the time they want. And Argyle didn't do that. And also, I think it showed how much strength of character the team has, that even after going 3-1 down, they didn't give up, did they? And they really were going for a second goal to try and get back in the game.
Confidence again, cliche time, but confidence is a big thing. And even at 2-1 down, I think the players felt that they were still well in the game.
We know how important the first goal has been in Argyle games this season. It was Graham Carey that actually opened the score with a penalty after a foul by Shea Dunkley. I saw on Twitter, Chris, you mentioned that you had seen it back on the highlights and thought that that could perhaps, could possibly have been a red card.
Yeah, you look at, we're talking about refereeing decisions again the week after, you know, the Doncaster game with Darren Ferguson. And looking back at it, let's talk about that one particular instance to start with. I don't see how Dunkley made any attempt to play the ball. I mean, I looked at the replay and I'm not sure anyone could convince me that he tried to play the ball. Carey was about to shoot. It denied a clear goal scoring opportunity. Now, you can get away with a yellow card if the referee feels that you've made a genuine attempt to play the ball. No one will convince me that he made a genuine attempt to play the ball. He'd been beaten. He knew Carey was about to shoot, and he made a foul to stop him from shooting and scoring. Derek Adams made what I felt was a very good point afterwards about the sending off of Ryan Edwards against Oxford, which was a very similar situation where Wes Thomas was the Oxford striker. He got in behind Ryan Edwards. Edwards made the tackle and Edwards was sent off. I don't see any difference from the Ryan Edwards on the Wes Thomas tackle to Dunkley on Carey. On that game against Oxford, Oxford scored the penalty, played against 10 men for the rest of the game, won 4-0. On Saturday, Argyle scored the penalty, but still played against 11 and didn't go on and win. Now, I'm not saying that Argyle would have gone on to beat Wigan 4-0 if Wigan had been reduced to 10 men, of course not. I still think it would have been a tricky game, but the game, the outcome of the game would have, or the way the game unfolded would have been very, very different. So I thought he shouldn't be sent off. I mean, any thoughts?
Well, I don't think the referee was a particularly popular man with Argyle fans throughout the game. I mean, he didn't have the best of performance, I would say. And I know you feel the same. You don't like to harp on too much about referees, and it's a hard job, but he didn't have the best games in my opinion.
No, he was poor. Gavin Ward, and I'm not a big fan of the way he controls games. He's done a few Argyle games over the years, and I don't want to pick on referees. But it was interesting. And the other case I'd make is that you could argue that Argyle should have conceded a penalty in the 90th minute against Doncaster the previous Saturday, couldn't you, for the Sonny Bradley challenge and James Coppinger. I think having looked back at that on TV, no one would have been really surprised if Andy Haynes had given Argyle, given Doncaster a penalty in that occasion. So, you know, maybe Argyle were fortunate with the penalty decision at Doncaster, and they were unfortunate that Dunkley didn't get sent off. Swings and roundabouts, what goes around, you know, it evens itself out, all those sort of things. But then we do get back to the point of inconsistency in the standard of refereeing. Now, let's take the individuals out of it, but two games running now, we've talked about games where you've got genuine concerns about key incidents in games.
But even
if
you take away the key incidents in the yellow cards, there were certain decisions that I thought were very odd. There were times where I got clear of the advantage because they had the ball and he brought it back for a free kick. There were times where they didn't, and he played on and they didn't really get an advantage. Just seemed a very odd game.
He had a poor game. I mean, how Sam Morsi didn't get booked in the first half is beyond me. I mean, he made a couple of challenges that should have been yellow carded, and then we found out subsequently at half time that he was booked in the tunnel by the referee. The referee spoke to him just before they left the pitch, and you know, it did get quite niggly, didn't it?
It did.
You know, and Wigan were, you know, being professional and, you know, doing things that the dirty side of football, which isn't always pleasing to see, but, you know, they were being professional and doing their job. But they were a little bit niggly. I was a bit surprised by that. And, yeah, the referee wasn't great, but, you know, try not to dwell too much on the referee after what was in it. I enjoyed the game. I thought it was a good quality game, but I do think that Dunkley was very fortunate not to be yellow carded, and the Powell and Graham Carey off the ball incident as well, which was captured on TV. You know, I'm not necessarily convinced that was a red card, but again, you know, there's four officials, a referee, two assistants and a fourth official. You know, surely somebody should be seeing that, because there was contact. Powell did make contact with Carey, and surely somebody should have been looking into that. And again, that goes back to refereeing standards.
It certainly made the atmosphere liven up, didn't it? We know how hostile home in the park can be at times. I mean, looking at the stats of the game, I know we've spoken before that we know stats can be twisted to suit whatever agenda, but Argyle had 58 possession against Wigan, 9 shots compared to their 8. Both teams had 4 shots on target, and Argyle had 10 corners to Wigan's 4. Now again, like I said, I know statistics, the only statistic that matters really is the result, but surely Argyle can take a lot of confidence from producing such a good performance against a team that are obviously destined for the Championship.
Yeah, I wouldn't have put a lot of money on Argyle having 58% possession against Wigan before the game. You know, that wasn't the sort of game I was expecting. And so that is encouraging. I'm like you though, Jack. I'm a big believer the only statistic that counts is the goals.
Yeah.
And Wigan got three and Argyle got one. And you can, you know, there's lots to be positive about from that performance. So, you know, why not, you know, be encouraged by that? The defending, you know, wasn't the best for the goals. So that would be a concern. But no, I mean, they put in a good performance. Like I say, you know, I mean, you sat amongst the fans, Jack. I can't imagine there were too many moans and groans. Yes, you don't want to see your team lose, but I'd have thought most of the Green Army, you know, would have. And it was a good crowd as well, nearly 12,000. I mean, yes, the league leaders, but it was about 500 from Wigan, so 11,500 Argyle fans there on a Saturday in January. I thought, and then they created a good atmosphere. You know, got behind Ryan Edwards, got behind the players. Yeah, I enjoyed it. Apart from the result,
it stays at that to remind you, you know, how good the Championship days were, don't you? Almost, yeah. Isn't it? It's those types of atmosphere games, those types of teams.
Yes.
And Wigan, they brought a fair few fans down, but certainly not the biggest away crowd we've seen this season. But that didn't stop the atmosphere.
No,
just gave you that feel of what could happen at home park.
I think everyone knew they were watching some good players on the pitch there, and you know, that is always is good, isn't it? It was a decent quality game with some good football play.
Whilst there are plenty of fighting challenges that we've already talked about on the pitch, one of the most shocking things from the game, it seemed everything between Paul Cook and Derek Ellis was pretty amicable.
Yeah.
I saw on Twitter again, I think myself and our colleague David Munday said that they've been spent some time talking on the pitch, and Cook was very complimentary about Argyle after the game. Do you think possibly it's because they're maybe not such direct rivals this season?
Yeah, possibly so, yes, because, you know, Paul Cook is looking to take his team up this season, and Derek Adams is not, and you know, when Paul Cook was at Portsmouth, Argyle and Portsmouth were rivals, and there's a bit of rivalry between the two clubs as well. Yeah, I mean, we were sat tying up our loose ends in the press box, just, you know, finishing the match report and getting it online, and looked up, and there on the side of the pitch, you know, probably 10 minutes after the final whistle, the crowd had gone, and there were Paul Cook and Derek Adams stood quite happily chatting away.
So they'd gone off the pitch and come back on?
They must have gone into the dressing rooms and maybe said a word or two, and I think Paul Cook likes to do his Wigan, official Wigan press sort of duties by the side of a pitch. I think he'd sort of headed down there to see their media guys, and you know, quite how they both ended up to be by the side of the pitch, but they were, and they stood on the pitch. Dave Rowntree got a nice picture of them stood there chatting away, and yeah, I mean, it's a funny one, the relationship, because you ask Derek Adams every now and then, and you suspect that, you know, well, you don't suspect, you know, that there's been a few disagreements over the years. But, you know, there is mutual respect there, I think. I don't think, would they go and have a drink together with her, although Derek Adams, you know, famously doesn't particularly drink, but, you know, would they be best buddies? No. But I think there is a respect there. And equally, I think both managers would have looked at that game and thought that was a good game of football. Both managers would have been pleased with what they saw from their sides. And I think, you know, there was a chance for the two managers to just talk about the game. And so it was nice to see, really.
And knowing the feisty characters that they both can be, they probably quite enjoy the fact there's someone else that they can spar with a little bit. I'm sure that's enjoyable for them. And also, we shouldn't forget that Paul Cook did buy a bottle of champagne for them at Fratton Park last season.
Yes,
so definitely one of those shocking things I saw in that game, in that game, though.
Yeah, and he was David, our colleague, was in with Paul Cook after the game, and he was very complimentary about Argyle as well. And, you know, sometimes you can say, well, it's easy to be complimentary about a team when you just beat them, but nevertheless, I think he was genuine. And you know, Paul Cook's one of these guys that you know, he's normally pretty forthright in his views. I don't think he'd just say things just for the very sake of it.
Yeah, well, we'll move away from the football for a little bit, and obviously we're all shocked and saddened to hear the news of Ryan Edwards' testicular cancer diagnosis last week. And I think firstly, everyone here at the Herald would like to wish Ryan a speediest of recoveries.
Yep, definitely.
And our thoughts are with him. But, you know, the thing that always impresses me when these sort of things happen, and we hope it doesn't happen very often to people and you know, all of that, but the football community, which can be criticised by the media in large aspects, they really do pull together in these sort of scenarios. And it wasn't just the wider world. I mean, we take the game on Saturday, the groundsman had mowed the number 5.
Yeah, nice touch. Yeah.
There were shirts that the players wore out, Edwards' name and number on it. Graham Carey had 5 on his gloves, which after he scored the opening goal, he was celebrating with. And of course, There was the standing ovation in the 5th minute, or possibly the 4th minute, might have been a bit premature, but nevertheless, the signs were there that everyone really was in it together. And Brian Edwards was at the game as well.
Yes, he was.
It was quite a moving moment, really, wasn't it? Or quite a moving afternoon, and it sort of really dominated that opening part of the game.
Yeah, I do think, and you know, I might be slightly biased here after 20 years of watching Argyle, but I do think Argyle do things like that quite well. I do think the club do have an ability to all come together in a situation like the Ryan Edwards one, and there is that sort of sense of unity, and I think they do it well. I loved all the various little bits that went into it. You know, the figure fives in the grass. You know, nice little thought. You know, Robbie Bullen, I have to say, did a fantastic cartoon. I'm sure you've seen it on social media if you frequent social media. With the We Are Argyle with you, Eddie, and the figure five, and all the little Argyle fans within that figure five, and Robbie sort of distributed, I know, a few of the cartoons around and about. And
anyone listening on social media should give him a follow, isn't it? Really,
Robbie Bullen cartoons, isn't it? I think it is, and that was a brilliant cartoon, Robbie. Even if you've not seen it, you know, do try and make the effort to see it. It was absolutely brilliant. So I just think all the little things when you piece them all together. I thought the crowd started applauding at 3:05, but that was about 3 minutes into the game. But, you know, again, the crowd all got involved into the occasion. And Derek Adams made the point afterwards, you know, he said, this is a very caring football club. We support our people. And, I agree with that. I think Argyle do that well and in situations like that. So, I think it was... Yeah. And the good thing was that we didn't know until after the game, well, I certainly didn't know until after the game, that Ryan Edwards was at the game,
yes.
Which, one, is fantastic. He was able to get there. And two, you know, hopefully, and I'm sure it was, that must have been a huge boost for his morale to go there and just feel the warmth and the best wishes of everyone for him. You know, it's obviously a very difficult time for him. I mean, you have to give him the utmost credit because he's been playing.
Yes.
While knowing he had this diagnosis. Mm. Now, you know, hand on heart, you know, how many of us could have done that, do you think? You know?
Not only that, he scored against Doncaster.
And he scored against Doncaster. So, I mean, you know, no one had any inklings that, you know, that he would have had other things on his mind apart from football. So, you know, utmost respect for Ryan for that and the way he's dealt with the situation. And, you know, like you say, we all wish him a speedy recovery.
And it certainly puts things into perspective, doesn't it? You know, we all go about our days moaning about the daily challenges that we face. But
yes.
I mean, it's incredible when you have a crowd, it's 12,000 strong, that you know in 5 minutes' time we're shouting at the referee, handing abuse left, right, centre. But and even Wigan fans, in that sort of moment, everyone comes together, doesn't it? And that's where football's such a tight-knit community in many ways.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
And he also made a statement on Twitter, didn't he, afterwards?
Yes.
I know you covered basically thanking everyone and explaining a bit, giving his own words and from his own experience.
No, and it was nice to hear from Ryan in his own words, you know, how he felt about the situation, how he was going to beat this horrible disease, which we all wish him well in doing, and, you know, how he'd soon be back. And we look forward to that day. So, we'll await developments and wish him well.
Another familiar face that was at Home Park was former manager Peter Reid. I think it was his first time back at Home Park since he left Argyle or was sat by Argyle. But I've heard from, again, sources on Twitter, including Gordon Sparks,
very
good form.
Yeah. Sparksy does a bit of sort of hosting sort of work, not hostessing, hosting work. Hosting work. And he was looking very dapper in a jacket and tie and... But he popped into the press box before the game and said he'd had a few laughs with Peter Reid in the boardroom, and he was in very good form. And sadly, I didn't get to see Peter, but he was there. And I know Paul Hart, who runs the Argyle Legends, the former Players Association, had a chance to give Peter an Argyle Legends tie. And we all know how Peter rallied around Argyle during the dark days of administration and... did a lot of good. I mean, it was one of those days. It just felt like there was ex-Argyle players everywhere. I did put a tweet out, and I'm going to forget one now when I run through this list. But just, I mean, Andy Jock Morrison was the half-time guest on the pitch. Sean McCarthy was doing the commentary for Radio 5 Radio Devon in the press box next to us. Warren Feeney was there.
Oh, really?
Martin Gritton, Roman Larrier was there. See, and I've forgotten. I'm sure there was somebody else that I should be mentioning. So whoever it was, I apologise. But
Cyril Regis's
Dave Regis, of course. Yes, Dave Regis was there for, which again was good, wasn't it? The Cyril Regis minutes applause before the game. I thought that was well done and well handled. So there was a lot of ex Argyle players, managers.
It wasn't
a million miles away, and those are the only ones I was sort of aware of and saw. So I wouldn't be surprised if there were one or two others there as well. So it felt like one of those days where the club came together, and having, you know, players like, you know, Andy Morrison and Roman Larry, you know, real icons of Argyle over recent years. It had a good feel of the day to it. You know, it's just if they could have eked out a draw or even a win, that would have just put the icing on the cake.
Again, it adds to that aspect that you spoke about of how together this club can be. Mm. So many players come down here and end up either coming back at some point in the future, moving down here, staying down here.
Yeah.
I mean, one of our regular columnists, Danny Salmon, is a perfect example.
Yes, well, and Danny, we should add to the list, really. We shouldn't be of ex-Argyle players, because, I mean, Dave Regis came in against Barnsley, brought Dave Regis into the press box so that he could meet Danny Salmon, because they played together in the same Argyle team. And I got the impression, I didn't ask, but I got the impression they hadn't seen each other for a very long time and were pleased to see each other. So, there was lots of sort of familiar Argyle faces around on Saturday.
But like you said, they certainly do things that well. The Armed Forces Days and everything.
Armed Forces Days is always good. And things like that, the club do pull together and do things well. So I think, you know, everyone involved in the sort of staging of that game, you know, deserves credit.
And it's picked up by the national, you know, Sky Sports News, and it's always good that the club gets that sort of
absolutely
recognition.
Yeah.
So going back to the football side of things, obviously we've seen Remy Matthews, Zach Viner and Simon Church. Before we talk about all of them, Zach Viner obviously thrown into the mix. And
not easy, no.
Also, it's not an easy circumstance for the whole team to play with the Ryan Edwards diagnosis. And that has to be playing on your mind somewhere.
It's going to be somewhere in the back of your mind. Derek Adams said that he told the players on Thursday. So they only had a couple of days to get used to the idea. They've suddenly got Zach Viner turning up, having two training sessions before going straight into the team. Not easy for him. Very highly rated at Bristol City by all accounts. And I thought you could tell at times he was good on the ball. He looked as though he was able to play the ball out of the back. I think he got caught on the ball a couple of times. But, you know, when you've been not playing regular first-team football, you know, you'll soon get up to speed.
And men's football as well. We've spoken about that quite a lot, isn't it? There's a difference between playing under-23s or under-21s and men's football.
So, you know, I'm sure he'll soon get up to speed of League One. Centre-backs always at our partnerships. Mm. So you've got to get on the same wavelength as your opposite number. And I thought, you know, generally he and Sonny Bradley did quite well. I mean, if you're being picky, there was a massive gap where Wigan went through for the second goal. You know, Viner and Bradley were too far apart.
Yeah.
And, you know, the pass from Power into Gavin Massey. And, you know, I wish Argyle would sign in so he'd stop playing well against Argyle. And
scored twice in the
game. He always seems to do well against Argyle, isn't he?
I suppose the hardest thing about centre-backs when you sign someone new and throw them in is if they make a mistake, it can quite often be more punishable. Whereas, for example, Simon Church, if he had played, started, not scored, and Graham Carey's the one goal, you're sort of let off the hook, aren't you?
It's a difficult one. You know, Zach came in and saw us afterwards for a chat and an interview, and very, you know, good young man. And, you know, he's well aware of the links that Argyle have got with Bristol City in terms of taking loan signings on. You know, he mentioned that he'd spoken to Joe Bryan, to Bobby Reid, to Arnold Garita, you know, have all been on the loan at Argyle. And certainly in the case of Bryan and Reid, you know, they learnt a lot from their times at Argyle, and it's standing them in great stead now because they're playing regularly for a very good championship side.
It's been quite a good link between the two clubs, like you mentioned, over the years, hasn't it?
Yeah,
both teams have sort of benefited. You know, Argyle have had some good players on loan, and like you said, the fact that Bryan and Reid are so instrumental in their team now shows the benefit of loaning players out to League One and League Two teams.
So, you know, hopefully Zach Viner is going to get a week's training under his belt, settle in, find his feet. You know, he can get to know his new teammates, they can get to know him, so that he's ready and up to speed for the game against Oldham next Saturday.
And as I said, Remy Matthews, Zach Viner, and Simon Church, all the ones that have come in so far. Do you anticipate any more signings? That will be the question everyone's listening.
No, I'd be surprised if there wasn't more. And, you know, some of it might depend on who goes out, because, you know, there's a fair few rumours floating around about people that might go out. And, you know, I would think we might be one or two more, but it depends if other clubs come in with offers for players. You know, you're looking at, you know, Jakub Sokolić, you know, he's not playing, he's presumably going to go out somewhere. So,
especially with the Ryan Edwards thing, if he was ever going to get a chance, that would have been it.
I think, you know, another centre-back, you know, might well be on the cards. I still think you'd like another striker. And a midfielder, obviously, for Diagaraga, to replace Diagaraga. So, you know, there could be scope for two or three, but what we now are about a week and a bit away, aren't we? So it's fast coming around the transfer window. I would I wouldn't be surprised if there's a few more in, and there's certainly enough rumours floating around. Nothing substantiated, but there's enough rumours floating around to suggest that, you know, there could be a departure or two as well.
And we've always said, you know, we talk quite often about the players that aren't playing so much for our girls team, but of course, there's nothing to necessarily stop the likes of Taylor, mm-hmm. Carey.
Yeah.
Also susceptible to bids, aren't they?
Taylor, Carey, Bradley, there's all sorts of, you know, not all sorts of rumours, but there have been rumours about all
of those
players.
But when people talk about these transfers, they also might think about the ones
that aren't playing. Yeah, and you know, if one of those were to go, you know, that leaves a hole in the team, doesn't it? Big hole in the team. So, the thing is we touched on it in the podcast last week, but at this time of the transfer window, you know, you really don't want to be losing key players because you haven't got a lot of time to then bring in a replacement for them.
And it's also you know, worth mentioning the fact that these players, it goes to show that nothing's irreplaceable. Is it?
Well,
everyone has their bid, everyone has their price. But almost, you can almost look at the transfer business, and keeping hold of your key players is almost as important as signing new players, aren't they?
Yeah, it is. And you know, everyone, you know, Derek Adams said it last week to us. Everyone has got their value, you know, and you know, that is the reality of football, is that if a football club offers enough money to you for one of your players and you think, wow, that's a good bid, we can't really turn that down, that player's going to go. So every player in the transfer window is effectively available, aren't they?
Yes.
If a club come in and wants him enough. The secret is, I suppose, is that Argyle are in a reasonably... in a pretty good financial position. They're not in desperate need for money. You know, they can afford to try and drive as hard a deal as possible if someone really wants. I mean, we know that Bradford have been in for Ryan Taylor. We don't know if they've come back in again or they will come back in again. But, you know, you got that had the feel of one where they're looking for strikers.
Yes.
But how far they're prepared to push it, you know, we'll see.
But it's great that I've got a position where Adams can come out and say, no, we don't want to sell him. We don't have to sell him for a cheap price. And that's
No. I mean, that's all part of the transfer window, you know, policy, isn't it? You say, no, we don't need to sell anyone. We're quite happy. And so you're saying to the club that might be interested, well, you're going to need to really impress us with your bid if we're going to even consider it.
Back to the fixtures coming up. Next up, we've got struggling Oldham side for Argyle. Obviously, we're back on the road for you, and Barron will be this week, won't it?
Barron's on duty, yeah.
So there was a small resurgence for the side with Richie Wellens first replaced John Sheridan, but they haven't won in the league now since December the 9th. Mm. I'm just wondering, Chris, your take, considering the fact that Wigan, Blackburn and Shrewsbury, the other games around the Oldham, is this one that really Argyle should be focused on getting 3 points from?
They should be focused on it, definitely. It's you know, we mentioned last week, you know, these four games are tough games. Mm. And I can guarantee you, whatever the outcome at Boundary Park, that is not an easy place to go and play football. You know, long way from Plymouth, and I suspect it might be a fairly chilly in January.
I've heard people talk about the chilly Boundary Park.
So it's not going to be an easy one. Oldham haven't been on a good run of form recently yet. They've got a couple of decent players though. Jack Byrne, that they've re-signed on loan for the rest of the season. He was quite sharp down at Home Park before Christmas. And you know, that 4-1 victory for Argyle was a great one a couple of days before Christmas, but I don't think that necessarily was a true indicator of the game. And Oldham will be looking at this game and thinking, you know, as much as Argyle are looking at it and thinking this is a game we need to be trying to beat, win, Oldham will be looking at that and thinking this is a game that we need to try. You know, Argyle have just had a long unbeaten run ended, admittedly by the league leaders, and they need to try and pick up the 3 points. So
it's so important when it's still quite tight, isn't it? And then you claw Argyle right back into it.
Absolutely, No, if you put yourselves in Oldham's position, you say, look, if we beat Argyle on Saturday, we've dragged them right back into it. And if you remember, you know, Argyle, when they were on that unbeaten run, they just kept playing team after team after team. That by beating them or drawing with them, they kept within range or dragged all those teams. They dragged Milton Keynes down, didn't they? And those various teams that have been sucked into the relegation mix. So yeah, it's an important game. And then you've got Blackburn and Shrewsbury to come after that, who are both, you know, doing really well
in second
and third. So you know, in an ideal world, you know, Argyle would like to go up there, get a win, get back on track after the defeat by Wigan, although the performance was good, and then that would set them up nicely for Blackburn and Shrewsbury. So yeah, it's going to be an important game. But if anyone thinks that you know, Oldham are struggling a little bit and haven't done very well, if they think that you know, I've got to go up to Boundary Park and find it easy. I'd be shocked if that was the case. You know, Richie Wellens was a very competitive midfield player. Played for Oldham and Doncaster and teams like that. He'll be exactly the same as a manager. You know, he will have Oldham fired up on Saturday. And but you know, if Argyle play like they have been doing in recent games, you know, there's no reason why they can't go up there and get a good result.
And just one last thing to mention is the date's now been set for the FA Youth Cup game, isn't it? So probably worth mentioning that. Is it the 7th of February?
Wednesday, February the 7th. Argyle are going to be at home to Fulham. Mm-hmm. Fulham beat Swansea 2-0 in the fourth round last week. The same admission of prices as for the previous home games in the FA Youth Cup. I think it's £5 for adults, £3 for concessions, one for under-18s. The under-18s have done fantastic this season. Really, to reach the fifth round, they're in the last 16 with a chance. I mean, you know, I don't know a lot about Fulham's current youth team, but you know, you would suspect that being a London club that were in the Premier League not that long ago, they'll have a good academy set up. So
a lot of players have come from their academy.
Yeah. So you would say, and I'm not saying this with great knowledge, but you would say that Fulham will be the favourites, but Manchester City and Burnley were the favourites against Argyle. Now, if Argyle can play like they did, defend solidly and what have you, then they could get into the last eight of the FA Youth Cup, and that would be an amazing achievement. So
it's worth just saying to anyone that's thinking about going and didn't go to the Man City game, it really is. So I went as a fan, and I don't go to a lot of youth games. So it really is a special atmosphere. You really see how much it means to those players.
A big deal to all those lads under the lights on a Wednesday night. Get behind the team. We can talk about it here at the time anyway, but no, I'm looking forward to it very much.
So date's been set. Well, thanks very much, Chris.
Jack, thank you for your hosting.
Excellent
job.
Don't forget to look on our website for all the latest stories. Chris and myself will be working for the rest of the afternoon on that, and we'll be back again next week.
We are always happy to hear from you, and if you have any questions for our panel, please tweet them to our Twitter account @HeraldPAFC or visit our Facebook page, Plymouth Argyle The Herald. Thanks for listening.